Blog Talk Radio.
Turnbuckle Terminal fans, welcome to the show here on another Sunday afternoon. Some show notes if you are looking for professional wrestling today. NWA Blue Collar Wrestling happening like normal at the North Portland Eagles in Portland, Oregon. PCW in Cleveland, Ohio. Z1W in Greensboro, North Carolina. SCW in Kiln, Mississippi. MWO in Flint, Michigan, KDW happening at the arena in Jeffersonville, Indiana, and OCCW in Staten, California today. Well, QT, sounds like there's some great shows out there, and you witnessed another successful Project 42 show last night right here in Seattle, Washington.
Yes, Sangai, I'd like our Turnbuckle Turmoil listeners to know that that was my first time at the El Corazon nightclub, and I must say I was blown away by the card. It was a long time since I had seen one of my favorites, all-time favorites, Northwest Wrestling Tag Teams, the Glory Holes. Yes.
Absolutely, and I believe our guest has joined us, so let's bring him on right away. I would like to welcome to the show today, Jimmy Jack Cash. Welcome to the show.
How goes the battle, guys? How goes the battle?
Doing very well today. Thanks for taking time on a Sunday to be with us. And since today's your first time ever on our particular program, we'll start with the first-timer's question. What got you into the business of professional wrestling?
Well, I could tell you that the first memory in my entire life was professional wrestling, where my great-grandma, who was from Italy, known as Mama, was watching Bruno Sammartino again to set the stage. I was in Staten Island, New York, sitting on a green couch that was covered in plastic, and I was watching Saturday morning wrestling with Bruno Sammartino on a black-and-white screen TV, and she pointed me and said, Jimmy, that's Bruno Sammartino. That's who you want to be like, is Bruno Sammartino, and that's what I'm doing right now.
Now, Bruno Sammartino, of course, one of the most dominant wrestlers of the 60s and the 70s. Was his style of wrestling the style that you most enjoy implementing in the ring, or do you take a little bit of the
Bruno? Honestly, I didn't really see a lot of him. No, I wouldn't say that. I mean, his winning, I mean, he did win a lot. He was the champion a lot, so I think that's a good style. I really developed my own style. If you've ever seen any of my matches and my moves, I mean, they're all innovative power moves that you've probably never seen before, 85% of my moves. So I think that, power in combination with good grappling and technical wrestling skill, you got to go with what you're good at. So that's what I've, as an athletic, big, strong guy that can move, you don't really see too many guys that can throw that all together. So that's, what I kind of build my style based on my strengths and moves that I can think of. So I really don't know if there's any way that has my style, but I mean, I wouldn't say I really haven't watched a lot of Bruno's matches, to be honest with you. That's the first memory in life. I've watched a lot of wrestling on all levels. And when I see someone doing something good, I'll give it props. I'll say it's doing good, So based on who I'm wrestling, based on who I wrestle is what I do. if I'm wrestling a guy that's bigger than me, you know, then I'm going to do something to be quicker than him. If I'm wrestling a guy that's smaller than me, I'm going to do something to be stronger than him. So basically, there's a lot of guys, because of my type of wrestling, that can't really go on my level, to be honest with you. You know, that's just a straight fact, anybody that's ever wrestled me. Because if I'm a big guy, I'm 275 pounds. I can't flip onto 185-pound guy to the outside. But then when I'm wrestling a guy who's 300 pounds, I say, hey, listen, buddy, are you ready to catch me when I jump out of the ring and do a flip onto you? And they're like, you could do that? You know, so a lot of times I was at a show in Queens, and I started doing a whole bunch of flips on the guys to the outside. They said, Jimmy, we didn't know you could wrestle like that. I said, yeah, well, I finally wrestled on a guy strong enough that I won't hurt jumping on him. You see where I'm going with it?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, like you stated, you're a very, very strong individual, do a lot of power moves in there. Obviously, you hit the gym and you lift some heavy weights in there. Do you have a particular weight regimen that you use to maximize being a power wrestler in wrestling?
Absolutely. As you may or may not know, but I own fitness facilities. I'm a businessman. I'm a self-made, self-paid millionaire. That's not a wrestling gimmick. People know who I am. The people who've worked for me in the industry know this. So I own buildings, I own properties, I own businesses, I own my own supplement company. I'm a consultant, and I work with a lot of different things. I built my own gym based on professional wrestling. I own a gym with a ring in it that I use for myself. I don't teach students. I don't have time, wants, or desire to teach anybody at this moment in my life. So my professional wrestling ring that I own is for me and for people that I bring in to train myself. I train mixed martial arts, which is kickboxing and grappling. You know, I have my own fighting style, which is jack jitsu. Okay, so it's when you could bench over 400 pounds and no submission holds. I do about, without an exaggeration, on the low end, about 14 hours of cardio a week. So 14 to 20 hours of cardio every single week. And I work out with weights every day, about an hour to possibly 2 to 3 hours a day. That's what I do. That's what I've changed my entire life to just be able to do that all day long. So that's why, I'm bench pressed 225 pounds 50 times. I could, you know, off record, I could do it like 52. On videotape, I did it 50. You know, I circuit train, I do power movements, bench, squats, bent over rows, military press behind the neck, straight bar curls, close grip bench press, and that's pretty much it. Squats, if I didn't say squats. So I go low to the ground so I can do my forget about it. Move unbeknown to any other wrestling organization in the history of the world. My finishing move, the best finishing move in the business, way more powerful than an F5. Have the likes of, let's say, a last ride, but it has more power because I can get my arm underneath the guy so I can give him a little more torque. I'm obviously stronger than The Undertaker. So, I mean, he's taller, but I'm stronger. That's obviously. So the forget about it is hands down the best finishing move in the business. Guys have taken it, professional wrestling champions such as TNA world champions, Ring of Honor world champions, WWE champions have all taken the forget about it, and they've all got the 1-2 trace for the count at the end of it.
In a similar vein to that, is there any particular diet that you try to maintain in order to maximize what you're doing in the ring?
Yeah, I mean, actually, absolutely. I take Jack Nutrition protein shakes. It's my own version of a protein shake. It's filled with branched chain amino acids. It's got glutamine in it, digestive enzymes. I take that. I do not do steroids. I'm against drugs. I don't drink. I don't smoke. I don't do drugs. I don't smoke a cigarette. Don't smoke marijuana. Don't care if you do or not. I don't care if you do steroids or not. I don't. A lot of times people think I do steroids. I don't. I get asked all the time. So I don't do that. I drink, take protein shakes. I drink about, you know, two to three shakes a day. I do take about 30 amino acid pills a day. 30 to 40 liver pills a day of desiccated liver. I take L-carnitine. I take multivitamins. I take 2 to 3 servings of multivitamins a day. I take ZMA at night. I eat about 250 grams of protein on top of that. A lot of vegetables, a lot of salads, you know, and I'm cut down to about 260 pounds. So I'm a slim trim. You know, I ripped it up a little bit to change my look. Obviously, the ladies left the abs. So that's one thing that I, you know, moving more towards is really cutting out the carbs and getting ripped up. And you see my latest pictures, looking pretty ripped, looking better than about 90% of the guys on TV today. Could tell you that.
One of the fads in professional wrestling up in our neck of the woods in the Northwest is tea drinking. A lot of the wrestlers have taken the tea as a post-match antioxidant. Has tea drinking ever been part of the regimen for you?
Not really. Never drank tea in my life. No, I'm just kidding. No, I mean, that's like the reality of it is not going to help you. I know all the teas in the world. So I apologize to anybody that really likes that, but it's not going to help you at all. So, I mean, after a match or whatever it is, I mean, tea is healthy for you. It's helped, like, you know, a lot of Chinese guys, you know, out there, they drink a lot of tea. If you notice that, you know, English people drink a lot of tea. But big jacked Italian guys that bench press 50 reps of 225 really don't drink a lot of tea. So, you know, we drink a lot of, aggression. That's about it. Protein, you know, working out hard, and that's about it. But, I mean, that's, you know, good for you. If you drink tea, you like that, go right ahead. But it's not going to help you in a large matter. And, you know, I'm not going to really exponentially change your gains. Most supplements don't. It's an incremental, little by little, helping you out. But, yeah, there are good antioxidant qualities in teas. So, you know, good for them, I guess.
One of the things that is fairly well known by fans that have followed you at all is you have worked in a large number of places. You travel around quite a bit. What's the number of states so far where you've competed?
I really don't even remember, but I'm mostly on the East Coast. I'm in Maine, Connecticut, New Hampshire, New York, Jersey, Philly. I'm in Jersey, Pennsylvania, Philadelphia, Wisconsin, Florida, California. I think that's mostly it. I mean, there might have been a match or two that I forgot about, but I've been wrestling for 17 years, and I mostly stick to the East Coast because, and I tell everybody about this, the East Coast is where the action's at. A lot of people know that's a hotbed. You know, unfortunately, you could sit there and wrestle, be undefeated, and you could be undefeated in Ohio, and no one really cares. You know, that's the sad truth. But if you're in Philadelphia, you're in New York, you got New York City press. You know, I was in the Bronx the other night, and I was wrestling, and they had like five motion picture cameras all over the place, and they had, we had TV all over the place, and they had, afterwards I went to this after-hours party and it happened to be a film festival and I'm hobnobbing with major motion film stars after my event in Manhattan. That was last month. So it's just, you know, that's where the action's at, man, you know. So, you know, I really tell people they got to get to the East Coast if they want to make it somewhere. They got to get to Philly. You know, I wrestled in Boston, you know, Massachusetts. I didn't get into that. For years I went to Killer Kowalski's professional wrestling school. I go to Johnny Rod's school. Again, because that's where the action's at. You know, you go down there, you see WWE's walking in and out of the school. You got guys that are been in WWE or different areas walking in and out of the school. You got TV cameras, news cameras that are, you know, it's big. That's why there's New York City is the biggest city in the world. I say you got to wrestle Philly. If you body slam someone through a table in Philly, it's 10 times more. People are like, wow, he did that in Philadelphia, ECW Arena. I mean, If you haven't wrestled in ECW Arena, you have to. It's like the Mecca. You got to wrestle there. You got to wrestle in Queens. You got to wrestle where there's fans that care about the business, that go out there and you know, they're hard crowds to wrestle in front of. You know what I mean? Have you ever seen a New York City crowd or a Philly crowd? Do you know the difference, guys?
I'd say Philly's a little bit more bloodthirsty, maybe.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I tell people when I'm wrestling in Philly, you got to do big moves. You got to do big stuff. You can't slow down. I've had a lot of guys try to wrestle me in Philly, and they're saying, hey, let's do X, Y, Z, yada, 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 you know. And you're just like, dude, you're in the wrong area, man. You'll get booed out. They said, no, we're good. See you later, dude. I ain't wrestling you. Go wrestle somewhere else. They'll go out there, they'll boo them right out of the arena. You know, I've seen guys backstage crying, going, oh, my God, they told me to go home. You know, big superstars. I'm not going to blow up spots. But that's a real story. I'm in Philly, and then you got a guy you've seen on TV. He gets chanted, don't come back, because he doesn't know how to wrestle in Philly, in New York. You know, that's why, you know, a lot of times you see the TV guys there, it's hard for them to assimilate to that kind of crowd. They don't get it. The easiest crowd to wrestle in front of is the WWE crowd. That's the easiest crowd to ever wrestle in front of. They're the easiest fans. When I wrestled in front of them, I was like, every move I did, it was like I did a 360 triple Lindy off the top rope, you know, with a twist. And I threw a good punch, a solid punch. Wow! You know, that's it. You know, you wrestle in New York City, Philly, you got to be like, boom, 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 you know? But, you know, you got to tell a story. You got to do your thing. I'm not here to, you know, tell people how to wrestle, but step your game up. That's all I'm here to say.
With that in mind, what would you say to date has been the toughest crowd that you've had to wrestle in front of?
I mean, you know what, I joke around, but the, you know, sometimes I was on a show one time and we had a lot of good names out there and, you know, and we were in a lot of names in the crowd. I don't want to blow up their spots, but one time, you know, when you wrestle in front of 20, 30 people, that's the hardest crowd. Because if let's say a show bombs, hypothetically, I'm not trying to talk crap, but you got a show that bombs, and there's 30 people in the crowd, every single move you do is hard. And if you could turn them around, you know, it's tough when I'm a heel. A lot of people, I get a, you know, I'm not here to talk, like, you know, I'm a good guy deep down inside. A lot of people know me, you know. But everybody, a lot of people think I have an attitude problem. They think I'm a bad guy, bad guy, bad guy. It's because when I've been a career bad guy a lot. And when I'm a bad guy, I'm a bad guy. You know, you have to heal, you know, you do what you got to do to the crowd to get that response. And a lot of these guys don't know that. They want to pretend they're in Ring of Honor and you get to shake a hand. And if they hold an arm lock, you know, it's, you know, they hold an arm lock, you know, that the, you know, that the fans are going to clap for you or something, like it's Japan. So, you know, I remember I've worked in front of a lot of crowds. If it's ECW Philadelphia crowd, I worked at Extreme Rising, you know, in front of 2,700 fans, you know, iPay-per-view. And they hated me because they're like, who are you wrestling in our house? I was one of the only non-ECW guys on that show. And when they hated me. They did not want me to do well. But then when you do a big move and you do this and you do that, you're showing the fans you have to cheer for me because I'm or at least cheer my move. You could boo me, but you're gonna know that I'm good. And that's a tough crowd. You know, a Ring of Honor crowd back in the day, I wrestled in Ring of Honor in the first year of its existence. Back when it was hot, you know, when it was really hot, you know, before the crowd was, they were educated in terms of knowing when to clap, when to cheer. So that was a tough crowd, you know. But also where I'm going with it is to say when I go back and I wrestle in front of a bunch of kids, right, and kids are the toughest crowd sometimes because if you're not good, they're going to tell you you're not good. So the hardest thing to do is to know what type of crowd you have, and sometimes you have to change up your, you know, I'm talking industry. I usually don't, I usually kayfabe everybody, but to talk industry, you know, when you're wrestling in front of a bunch of kids, I remember one time there was these two guys, they wrestled and they said, oh, man, they went there. And I'm telling you, when I say that they did every move, they did every move. They did 450s. They did moonsaults. They did inverted shooting star presses. They did every move you could possibly do. They did the ye old Japanese clothesline sequence, the chop fest, and the crowd didn't even budge. And they came back and they said, man, and the place is filled. And they came back and they said, man, that crowd sucks out there. And I said to him, I knew this kid, so I didn't do it just to be a butthole. But I took him to the side and said, dude, the crowd doesn't suck. You suck. And he's like, what do you mean? I said, dude, listen, man, don't I care about you? Yeah. All right. You suck. Hey, let me tell you, well, you guys want help or not? Yeah. Who's the heel? Who's the face? Oh, well, we're both faces. That's your first problem. What do you mean you're both? We're both in between. Well, that's why the crowd couldn't get behind you. Then I went out there and I had the crowd chanting for me. You know, I was a good guy. I was wrestling another guy. He's a bad guy. And the crowd was off its feet going nuts. And as I came back and they said, yeah, we get your point. So one other time was I was wrestling a guy. And you know how it goes. You're the good guy. I'm the bad guy, right? Well, I tried to explain to the promoter. I said, dude, listen, this crowd likes me, man. You had me as a babyface last show. You don't get it. I sold a lot of T-shirts. It was like a high school crowd. It was actually East Sandwich High School in Cape Cod. I sold about, I'm not even joking, I said like 50 to 100 T-shirts. I made a ton of money. It was crazy. So I knew that they all knew who I was. I was there like a year ago. I'm like, dude, these guys know who I am. And I was like selling more T-shirts when I went there the next time. So we went out. He goes, nah, dude, you got to be the bad guy or whatever it is. I said, okay, I'll do what I can do. I did what I did. The crowd was so hot. I was screaming at them. They were cheering at me. We got into the ring, and then the crowd started cheering for me and booing the other guy right out of, you know, it was a championship match, main event. So guess what? You were smart enough to say, okay, buddy, switch it up. We got to change the game, change the match type thing. You know where I'm going with that?
Absolutely. I 100% understand what you're talking about, and hopefully some younger wrestlers will hear that as well and implement.
Thanks. But yeah, I've wrestled a lot of guys, you know. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, Ed, the level you're at with the experience that you have, do you have a lot of younger guys seek you out specifically for advice at this point in your career?
You know what? I mean, it depends on the show. It depends on what's going on. But, I mean, sometimes people do ask because they know they, you know, not to, you know, brag, but everybody knows when I'm on a show, the crowd is going to go as loud as it possibly can go. So I can't tell you how many times when a promoter pulls me to the side and said, dude, hands down, not only did you have the best match of the night, you know, but, you know, blah, 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 blah. But, you know, when I put matches together with guys. But the problem is when I first started wrestling, okay, you had a small handful of schools in the entire country. I started wrestling in 1999. To find out what schools there was no internet. You had to go, and there was like a booklet when you went to the PWI. It said, here's a list of 100 wrestling schools in the country. And I remember, because that's how you got a hold of these guys. You know, it's funny. This is hilarious. I don't know if you guys know this, okay? So now you get a magazine, PWI, right? You know, whatever, pro wrestling world, whatever it would be, okay? And you want to figure out where to go to a wrestling school. So, you know, you get it. So, how do I even get a hold of these guys? You couldn't even get a hold of a wrestler school. So you had to, like, mail them a letter. Like, hi, my name is James DeFalco. I want to be a professional wrestler. Because, you know, I think I called Kowalski, like, 10, 15 times before I got a hold of him. You know, and I went out there for, you know, and then, you know, Johnny Rods is a good school. It's still around today. Kowalski's obviously doesn't exist anymore. He's passed away. So it was Johnny Rods. it was Killer Kowalski. There, you know, there was another school that I really didn't heard of there. Then you had the Monster Factory. And then, I mean, there's a couple here and there, but that's it for the East Coast. Three major wrestling schools. Now, the other schools, give them credit. I'm not saying they aren't good. Don't get mad at me. Okay, but, you know, those were the schools. That was it. So you either, I had to decide, can I afford to go move to Brooklyn and live and go to Johnny Rod's school? Should I move down to New Jersey? Or should I move to Boston and do it at Kowalski's? So those were my options. And I chose Kowalski's for a lot of different reasons. But, you know, I rented a room out there, took every last bit of money I had. I quit college. You know, and I said, and I went to professional wrestling school at Killer Kowalski's, and that was it. And that's what that's what you did. You didn't have the local school around the corner with a ring in it. You know, that wasn't what it was. And then when I went to Kowalski's, there were guys at Kowalski's that trained there for 3 to 5 years that never had a match. That's the other big thing. You did not get picked to wrestle unless there was a promoter that wanted you. And the promoters were few and far between. It wasn't a wrestling show every weekend in every town, or two or three to that matter. So when you were wrestling, you know, there was like, you know, 500 to 700 people at every show, if not more, because that's where the shows were like. Like when you went to a high school show, it was stacked. You know, I remember wrestling with Honky Tonk Man and 1,100 people at a school, at a high school gym, you know, and I couldn't, that guy didn't choose. His name is, God rest his soul, Superstar Richard Burns. He wouldn't let me wrestle for him because I wasn't big enough, muscular enough. Because he said he had guys that were giants. Everybody was like 6'5 and 250, you know, big, big guys. And when I was at the school, you know, a lot of guys would get chosen before me because they were taller or bigger, and I was young. And I lifted weights and got in shape. And then, you know, Rich Burns, who was a master of Kang Sudo, finally said to me, hey, kid, you finally got enough muscle. I could book you on my show. You want to wrestle? And I said, yeah. And that's how it was. So, I mean, you know, it's different. These guys are wrestling now because their school runs school shows. You know, you didn't have that opportunity, really. You wrestled because you were good. And that's it.
At this point in time, my co-host QT is standing by. I know he has some questions as well. So, Thess, help you as I pass things along to QT.
All right, QT, let's hear it.
Well, thank you, Sun Guy. Hello, Jimmy.
Thank you very
much. What is the hardest knife-edge chop you have ever received from a lady wrestler?
I've never wrestled a lady before in my life. I don't hit girls. I don't believe in the whole girl versus guy wrestling thing. Probably would never do it, even if I was contracted to do it. Don't wrestle girls. I mean, there's a lot of, like, young guys that look like girls that I've wrestled. That's about, I mean, you know, they're feminine looking. But never, I mean, I treat a lady like a lady. If you know what I'm talking about.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, now, Jimmy, if you could step back in time and you were given an opportunity, would you wrestle China?
I mean, again, if I was signed by WWE and, you know, they told me to do it, I'd second guess it. I mean, I don't think I would have, honestly. I mean, but I mean, she was different. Obviously, China was a behemoth. You know, so she was a pretty strong girl, benching 400 pounds or whatever the heck it was. But
yeah,
right. I mean, she was also Kowalski. So I mean, I think China was kind of like the exception at the time. She wrestled like a Jeff Jarrett, but I mean, honestly, it's just not my thing. You know, I mean, I'd never wrestled a girl before, and I guess I would see how much money they'd want to pay me and what my the cost of doing it. Yes or no type thing is. You understand what I mean by that?
Oh, sure. Yeah, I understand.
Like, yeah. So, I mean, it just never happened. I mean, just never wrestled a girl. I mean, the whole seeing they do a Lucha Underground too, the guy versus girl matches, AAA guy versus girl matches. I mean, I don't think that really helps the guy they're wrestling. Does it make the girl look cool? Yeah. I mean, there's a spot or two where a girl wants to do. I mean, I've gotten slapped. I mean, I guess I got a really hard slap from Dawn Marie one time, you know.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, I mean, back in the day when I used to do, like, the ECW reunion type shows, I had Sonny, Dawn Marie in a ring. And, you know, I was the booker, so I set it up. But I think I forgot what I said to Dawn Marie, which was pretty rude, you know. And I remember she slapped the taste out of my mouth, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, you know, I think my Asian girlfriend used to punch me in the face, if I remember correctly, you know. That was another one, you know. So that's about it, but I mean, you know.
All right, it was just a theoretical question, if you could time travel. Yes, okay. All right.
Okay.
Well, now, speaking of, okay, if you could time travel and you chose not to wrestle China, would you ever wrestle, if you had the chance, time traveling, with Mae Young? She was one tough lady.
I feel bad. I mean, what they used to do to Mae Young, I mean, that was pretty crazy, you know, putting her through tables and stuff like that. I mean, she wasn't really wrestling with the guy. She was doing spots. So if you're asking me, would I do a spot with a girl? Of course. I mean, I've done that 100 times. Spots with women and, you know, have them beat me up or do something like that, you know. So, you know, that's a different story. You know what I mean? So, again, I mean, I'm being a little facetious. Usually I do whatever that promoter wants me to do. If you're going to pay me $50,000, you know, a night or whatever the heck you're getting for a main event, WrestleMania, Jeff Jarrett versus China, you know what I'm saying? But from what I understand, Jarrett wasn't too pleased about that. But, I mean, if you want to pay me $25,000 and want to have a one wrestling match, I am Jimmy Jack Cash, not Jimmy Jack Idiot. You know what I'm saying? It is about the money.
Oh, all right, okay. Now, Jimmy, are there any YouTube videos out there where you are showing off your dance steps in the ring, kind of like with maybe three other wrestlers in a dance off? Any dance steps?
No, I've never done a dance off. I kind of take wrestling a little too serious. I'm not really into that. I know that's a big thing they do nowadays. But you know, if I was in WWE. I've wrestled Rikishi before. And, you know, when he said, "Do you want to do a dance-off?" And I'm like, "Nah, let's just wrestle, brother." You know what I'm saying? He's cool. You know what I'm saying? I've gotten a stink face. I've gotten a stink face before from Rikishi. You know, but I've never... So I guess I'd let a 500-pound guy stick his craft in my face before I danced, I guess. If that makes any sense.
Wow. Holy smokes. You had that adipose flesh on your face, huh? Boy, that's
absolutely. You know what I mean? It actually tastes just like chicken.
Yeah. Well, okay. Wow. All right. Well, Jimmy, of these four injuries, which one would you fear the most? Torn ACL, torn rotator cuff, broken tailbone, or detached retina? Which one would you fear the most?
Well, that's an easy one. Detached retina would be the worst, because if you have a detached retina, you might never wrestle again, and there's nothing they can do about it.
Oh, okay.
So I've had a torn ACL, and I've had a broken tailbone. So my ACL was originally hurt in a Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu tournament when I was younger, and I've since recovered from that 100%, which is awesome, and I do maintenance on it all the time. And then the tailbone is actually a funny story, which is the only time I've ever cursed in a match to this date. And I've never cursed on a microphone, and I've never cursed in a promo or in a ring. So on that note, I was wrestling Flying Fred Curry at Jason Knight's, another very tough crowd, by the way. Back in the day, Jason Knight was throwing himself, like, I think it was called Acid Championship Wrestling. And that was in Connecticut. I was like, right after ECW closed down, he was running the Connecticut Extreme area. There was a lot of extreme promotions that opened up. This was a very extreme promotion. The fans were very tough. This was actually one of the very tough nights that I've wrestled. So I'm wrestling Flying Fred Curry in this old ring that did not have a lot of give. A lot of rings we used to wrestle in were like boxing rings that were like modified to wrestle in. I imagine this was one of them because that thing was like landing on concrete. So anyway, on that note, I remember doing a flying leg drop off the top rope onto the second rope with a guy with like a hangman's leg drop. Do you know what I mean by that? So I do the leg drop, and when I landed on the ground, hold on 1 second. Got a lot of work going on in one of my businesses.
Oh, okay. So anyway,
as I did the flying leg drop, I landed directly right in between where the board shifted, and a metal pole sideways went right up my keister and right on my tailbone. And I screamed out the F word, I'm not going to lie. And that was a very bad pain. And to this day, I still feel it once in a while. And then I remember after that, and I had a huge bruise on my buttocks that went up my buttocks to my tailbone. I had to wrestle the next night. And I probably should have, but, I mean, that's what you did. I've wrestled injured many times because I didn't want to miss a booking. So I remember I was in Connecticut. The next night I had to go to, like, the upper area of New Hampshire for wrestling for superstar Richard Burns, God rest his soul. This was, like, I believe my – remember I told you I had the opportunity to wrestle that one time? Well, this is, like, the second match I had. So now I'm involved in this league, you know, and they paid pretty good money. So I remember King Kong Bundy was there, and, Chris Nowinski was there, and I think Hockey Talk was there. No, Bundy was there. Anyway, the moral of the story was someone didn't show up to wrestle Richard Burns. So I remember it was like a big thing, like, what the hell? Someone no shows the show? You didn't have extra guys. You know what I mean? These were like, you didn't even get invited to the show. And, you know, so somehow the guy doesn't show up. So he says, is anybody willing to do double duty and get paid extra? And, of course, even me with my broken tailbone, I'm like, I'll do it. You know? So.
Wow.
I remember I ended up wrestling twice that night, and we made it through it, and that's when, I got a little more respect by some of the guys, you know, and they knew and then afterwards I showed them my bruise after the match, and I was like, oh, that kind of sucked. Look, I didn't want to show nobody, you know, because you hit injuries. Nowadays, another funny thing is that when someone has an injury, on Facebook, everybody's posting themselves in the hospital or posting a picture of their ankle or doing this or doing that. Look, I hurt myself. I cut my lip. I did this. Man, you would never do that back in the day. You would hide it because you didn't want anybody thinking that you were injured because you didn't want them to say, oh, I don't know if I could book him. He hurt himself. I don't want him. You understand what I'm saying by that? Because, you don't want to be known to have an injury. This guy got hurt on a show. You don't want him. You know, I never did that. So if I had an injury, you never knew about it. You know, you didn't tell anybody about that. You hit it, you did what you had to do, and that's it. You go on to the next show because guess what? They have an injury too. No one cares. That's the other aspect of it. You got a lot of these guys, I hurt my ankle. I hurt my knee. Well, yeah, guess what? So did I. So see you later. Well, who cares? Go to the next show, buddy. You know?
Wow, all right. Okay. Well, you never can tell when that will lead to some financial opportunity or down the road it'll pay off. Yes. Okay.
Yep.
All right. Well, Jimmy, can you explain to our listeners what a Jimmy Jacked Cash starter kit is and what four essentials you must have to receive this complete starter kit? What are the four essentials?
Well, that's pretty funny you said that because I wrote a little – I actually just did a Facebook meme about that last week. I don't know why if that's why you were saying it or if this is a normal question. But I made a little joke, and it was like the sunglasses, the chain, the wristwatch, and I guess, you know, styles. But that's kind of like the funny part. But I mean, if you were a professional wrestler and you wanted to be the Jimmy Jack Cash starter kit, I would say you have to at least bench 315 pounds. Okay, then I'd do it with the sunglasses, the chain, and the wristwatch.
Do you see a future where your starter kit will be expanded to include a headband with a feather?
I think I would probably not this lifetime.
Oh, okay. All right. What is the resale price of a Jimmy Jack Cash starter kit? And can you find them on Saks Fifth Avenue, New York, or Hollywood's Rodeo Drive?
Well, I would have to say that you could, and you could spend a lot of money, or you could find it at Walmart and get it for cheap like I normally do. I don't spend my money on frivolous jewelry, but I do own a lot of jewelry. You know, I own good stuff, but I usually don't bring it to the wrestling shows. But a 315-pound bench would be found at your local gym for $10 or $20 a month, depending on what gym you go to, and that's just, you can only get that through hard work and dedication.
Oh, okay. All right. Are there any truth to the rumors that the Million Dollar Man has sent you an email request for a Jimmy Jack Cash starter kit?
I don't know. I'd have to check my spam box, but I haven't seen that.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Jimmy, I saw your YouTube video where you wrestled Jay Lethal. Is it true he requested a starter kit from you?
Actually, he asked me if I could help him out with his bench press, and I've been trying. I mean, he's been looking better. You know, he's been doing the Jimmy Jack Cash routine. So, I mean, he is doing a lot better. I'll give him credit after I beat him. He gave him the forget about it. He was like, you know what? You know, you got the strength. He's like, I'd like to emulate your style. That's cool. I said, absolutely, brother. And he was doing the black machismo gimmick, and I told him to stop doing that and start being his own person. So that's cool. And, he's definitely working on it.
Is it true that you have a 6-0 record against Ring of Honor wrestlers?
Let me see. Well,
6-0.
I've beaten a lot of them. I don't know who's in there now. And I'd be a liar if I said I didn't have one loss when I was at Ring of Honor. So I don't think 6-0, but I think it's more like 15-1. But, yeah, so 15-1-1. Me and Samoa Joe went to a no contest when I wrestled him.
Oh, wow. All right. 15-1-1. That's a very good record. Okay. Very good. All right. Well, Jimmy, I think most of our Turnbuckle audience would agree that your physical build reminds them of Don Morocco and, to a slightly lesser extent, Jim the Anvil Neidhart. Are there any truth to the rumors from my wrestling sources out of Shelton, Washington, that Bret Hart once asked you to join the Hart Foundation?
I've met Bret Hart a couple times, and he did not mention that to me. I wish I could say, yeah, I did like the Hart Foundation. It was awesome. I knew Bobby the Heenan when he used to wrestle the Hart Foundation, right? I believe he was a manager there, or was it Jimmy the Hart? Met both of those guys, but, I'm not a Canadian, so therefore they never asked me to be in the Hart Foundation. You know, I'm not a part of that. But that was a great thing back in the day. You know, that would have been a foundation, I guess, that I would have definitely fit in pretty well.
Wow, okay, all right. Well, Jimmy, is it true that you will be facing on April 1st in a Coastal Championship wrestling match, former WWE and WCW star Buff Bagwell, who in
absolutely.
The WCW...
Thank you for reminding me.
Oh, okay.
Yep. yes, I'm wrestling Buff Bagwell on April 1st. It's going to be very exciting for me because Buff, in my mind, is one of the best professional wrestlers in the history of professional wrestling. And being that I believe he was a WCW world champion, but I've beaten WWE world champions, Ring of Honor world champions, TNA world champions, ECW world champion. I've never, ever beaten a WCW world champion to my knowledge. So this would be my first opportunity to have that and complete the Triforce, or whatever they call it.
Oh,
the Golden
okay.
Cup, the Golden Crown Award.
Wow, all right. Okay, Golden Crown, okay. Well, Jimmy, I have heard some rumors that in 1991, in the Global Wrestling Federation, that there was a wrestler employed by them that was known as the Handsome Stranger. His identity was never revealed, but the rumors ran wild that it was none other than Buff Bagwell himself. My question is, to your knowledge, is there any YouTube video out there showing Buff Bagwell has suggested that you don a mask and call yourself the not-so-handsome acquaintance?
That's actually something good to look into. Never heard about that. But, I mean, again, you know, I guess you never know what's under the mask, as they say. It's like it could be a Scooby-Doo moment when we find out there was him, you know. But, nope, he's never, you know, I wouldn't cover my face. You know, as many wrestler promoters and yada, 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 they and the girls in the crowd, they pay to see this good, beautiful mug. So they don't want me to cover it up. So Buff Bagwell, he might want me to cover it up because I might be outshining him. Because, well, Buff is Buff and has the stuff and the ladies can't get enough. Jimmy Jack Cash is all that and has the stack to match. And that's the fact, Jack. So that's going to be a battle of the making of epic proportions.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right. Well, I guess then the Handsome Stranger and the not-so-handsome acquaintance will go down in folklore, and the identities will never be proven. Okay. Okay. Well, Jimmy, the Acolyte Protection Agency consisted of Bradshaw and Farouk, and they officially adopted this name in the year 2000. Their main function was to offer their services as bodyguards to other wrestlers, but they also won a tag team championship in 2001. My question is, in early 2000, did Farouk and Bradshaw interview you to become a possible third member of the Acolyte Protection Agency, but they chose not to accept you when they asked you the question, where do you see yourself in 6 years from now in the APA? And you were rumored to have answered, I see myself freelancing for the APA on the Hawaiian island of Lanai.
Well, I mean, that's partial of the story, I would have to say, because I was, having Bradshaw take a look at me around that time period where I got to wrestle in front of him a couple times. I did know Ronnie Simmons, so he, too, interviewed me, per se. And you know what? I mean, the whole Hawaiian Island thing, it was actually Staten Island. It was a different island, and that's where, you know, so that's the mix-up. So everything happened, but replaced the Hawaiian Island with Staten Island and replaced freelancing for working for myself.
Oh, very okay. All right, very good. Okay. Now, would you have been nervous going into the APA offices and playing Farouk and Bradshaw in a card game of poker? Would you have been nervous?
One thing about me is I don't gamble. I don't even do scratch tickets. I don't gamble. So that would have never happened. I don't play poker.
Oh, okay.
Yep, don't gamble. Don't play cards. I don't even play games. I don't play video games. I got no time for it.
Wow, all right, okay, okay. Well, Jimmy, on May 18th, 2000, on SmackDown, Crash Holly paid for an hour of APA service as he went up for the WWF Hardcore Championship. After the hour was up, the APA left, which allowed Gerald Briscoe to pin Hardy for the Hardcore Championship. If you were put in Crash's place, would you have paid for 2 hours of service?
Nope. I could take care of myself, and actually I've beaten WWE Hardcore Champions before. Tommy Dreamer was a WWE Hardcore Champion. I've beaten Tommy Dreamer. So I'm well prepared on how to handle that.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay, you went forward the money. Very good. Okay. Well, Jimmy, you said you could bench press 225 pounds 50 times. Well, I can bench press 22.5 pounds 5 times. Is there any chance I could challenge you in a YouTube bench competition?
If you, that's up to you. Anybody can do anything they want in America. YouTube might not play it because they have certain policies where they don't allow things. So that'd be up to YouTube, not me. But you could do whatever you want, brother.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, I'll give you a call after the interview. Yes. Okay.
Yep.
All right. Well, now, Jimmy, do you ride the Staten Island Ferry a lot? And is it true that due to your being a millionaire and successful wrestler, that you have been given the honorary rank of ferry boat commander?
I do not. I've written...
Okay.
See you guys there?
Oh, yes.
Hello?
Yes.
Okay, cool. I've ridden the Staten Island Ferry a couple times, but usually I just go around and take the bridge. So hasn't happened in a while.
Oh, okay. So you haven't been given the honorary rank of ferry boat commander. Okay.
Nope. I stay incognito when I'm on a public.
To your knowledge, has a wrestling ring ever been set up on a Staten Island ferry, and has a match ever taken place while the ferry is making a crossing?
You know what? I don't know. That'd be a good question for some of the smart fans out there. I missed that one. That happened.
Oh, okay. If you had a chance, would you ever wrestle Nasty Boy member Brian Knobbs on a Staten Island ferry?
That would be an awesome match. Go set it up. I'll do it.
Great. Hopefully we could set this up for charity. That would be good. Okay.
Yep. Let's do it.
All right.
Well, the Staten Island Street Fight, I've done that a couple times.
Yes, and if you won the match, you could toot the ferry horn. That would be huge. Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, all right. Well, Jimmy, you say you're a self-made millionaire. Have you ever met self-made millionaire and bass guitarist Gene Simmons of Kiss?
No. Nope. Never.
Okay. Can we ask what classes you were taking in college before you decided to devote yourself 100% to wrestling? And were they business classes? And what college
yep.
was this at?
I went to Marist College, I went to UMass Boston. So the other part of the story was I left Marist College, I went to UMass Boston, and I've taken business and economics. And then after I realized that I didn't have to pay to get educated, I self-educated myself in many different aspects of real estate as well as business.
Wow, all right.
And politics.
Yes, have you ever met Donald Trump before he ran for
yes,
president?
Yes, I have. I know Donald Trump. Yes, I do. Yeah, I've talked business with him. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Me and Don, me and the Donald, you know. We kind of not way back, but we go back. Put it that way. Yep.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
You know, I was just saying that, you know, he's a good guy, and he listened well, and he took my information. We exchanged cards, and that's it.
Now, do you think he could bench half the weight that you lift in the bench press? Can Donald Trump lift 100
pounds? You know what? Donald Trump's not. He's a strong dude. I was surprised. He's got a lot of tendon strength, so I wouldn't hold it against him. Yeah, he could probably bench it if he had the Secret Service helping him. So, I mean, you got to watch out. He's got some ends I don't know about.
Well, he did hit that hostile takeover on Vince McMahon. I give him that, yes.
Yeah, I know, right? I give it to him. You know, he took the stunner too. You know, I got to give him credit. You know, a lot of guys would be scared to get in the ring and take that stunner from Stone Cold. So I mean, you got to give him credit.
Yes. Okay. Well, Jimmy, you mentioned the magazine Pro Wrestling Illustrated. Do you know if you have ever been ranked in the top 500?
No, I have no idea. I really, no idea. And I haven't really paid attention to that in the last 20 years. So, you know, so I have no idea.
Okay.
Never looked at
it. All right.
Yeah.
Well, Jimmy, you said you don't drink or smoke, but have you ever been to the Bowery Bar CBGB's where Blondie, Television, and the Talking Heads and the Ramones got their start?
Nope, I could say I never have.
All right, Jimmy. Well, it has been good talking with you. I do hope
thank
that
you very
get
much.
That match on the Staten Island Ferry. Yes. I'll try to set something up for you. Okay. And at this time,
good,
I'm turning it back over to Sign Guy. Back to you, Sign Guy. Yes.
Thank you, QT. Well, Jimmy Jack Cash, we got just a few minutes left on the show. I want to give that time to you. If there's anything you would like to say to the listeners, plug and promote anything you got, social media, upcoming appearances, merchandise, your favorite dairy, anything at all, why don't you take it away?
Sounds good. Well, hey, listen, I'd like to thank all the fans out there that are tuning in to this awesome radio show, and I hope to see you guys soon. As you can tell, check out my Facebook, Jimmy Jack Cash. That's J-A-C-T Cash. I'm also Instagram, Snapchat. You can see it all. Jack Nutrition Protein, 5-pound bucket of chocolate, strawberry, vanilla for only $39.99. That's including shipping. And you can call 518-653-7506, and we'll set you up and ship you out an order. Plus, that includes a workout program and a nutritional guidance program. And I'd like to thank all the fans of wrestling for supporting professional wrestling. And keep it classy, folks. Go out there, work out hard, do you, pray to God. That's actually one of my other secrets in my starter pack. I miss that. I pray to God every day, every night. And I thank Jesus for helping me and making me stronger. And I hope that, I've wrestled guys like John. You can check out my YouTube. See me wrestle guys like John Cena, Sabu, Eddie Guerrero, among many other of your favorite superstars. And that's it, man. Check it out. Say hi. Shoot me a like. Shoot me a comment on one of my pages. And, you know, listen to these guys. These guys are fun. So it was a great time. And hope to have me back another time. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Jimmy Jack Cash. And we appreciate your time today. Fans, if you've got an opportunity, definitely check him out. Great veteran talent. I think you'll be very entertained and glad you made the trip to the show. He's at a wrestling venue near you. And we will be back with you next week. So get out there, support your local independent wrestling, and we'll talk to you next Sunday with our guest, Kid Cash. So take care, and we'll talk to you then.
All right, thanks a lot, guys. And Booker's out there. Hit me up.